Once Upon a Journey, Chapter 5, A Different Kind of Magid. Tzvi Arye and Leah Brina were able to fulfill the second condition that Binyamin the Hidden Tzaddik made with them. When Hashem blessed them with a son and a daughter, they named the children Binyamin and Sarah after the childless couple whose home they inherited. The young Binyamin and the orphaned Wolf grew up like brothers. Wolf was a year younger than Binyamin, and the two were inseparable friends. The people of Lubavitch watched the boys walking together deep in conversation. "History is repeating itself," they said to each other in fascination. "Look at these two, just like Reb Wolf the shoemaker and Reb Binyamin the peddler used to roam the streets of Lubavitch side by side." Wolf and Binyamin both excelled in their intellect and character. They were far more brilliant than most children their age, and they studied Torah with Rav Shalom, the Rav of Lubavitch. When the old Rav passed away, Reb Yosef assumed his father's position as the Rav and continued to teach them. Binyamin was not only an outstanding scholar, but was blessed with rare musical talent. He had a beautiful voice and played the violin with great skill, enchanting his listeners. In time, Wolf married Sarah, the daughter of the kind people who had cared for him. The whole town participated in the wedding, a match made in heaven, as they described it. Binyamin sang and played the violin with the greatest joy in honor of his sister and his dearest friend and study partner, who was now his new brother-in-law. People cannot remember a happier wedding in Lubavitch. Binyamin also married and established a new home with a kind-hearted and God-fearing young girl. After they were married, Reb Binyamin and Reb Wolf continued to learn Torah with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was deeply beloved by the people of Lubavitch. All knew of his greatness in Torah, but only a few realized that their Rav also had a rich spiritual life that he carefully concealed from others. At times, Rav Yosef would venture into the forest surrounding Lubavitch in order to serve Hashem privately. One day, Rav Yosef shocked his congregation with unexpected news. He announced that he wished to resign from his position as their Rav. "But why?" asked the surprised townspeople. "Why, our teacher and our Rav, why do you want to leave us? Do you consider us unworthy of your leadership? Has another community offered you a more honorable position?" "Chas v'shalom," Rav Yosef replied. "Lubavitch is a very honorable place, and you are all beloved children of Hashem. I am leaving my position for another reason altogether. I wish to leave my home and my community and travel from place to place as a poor wanderer. I hope this form of gullus will help me search my innermost soul and find a true way to serve Hashem." "Of course," he continued, "I cannot leave a Jewish community without a Rav to answer questions of halacha and settle disputes. I will resign in order to allow you to appoint another Rav." "But what are we going to do?" asked the perplexed people. "Where will we find someone to teach us and answer our questions?" "Fear not," replied Rav Yosef with a reassuring smile. "I have given the matter much thought. My dear student here," he pointed to the shocked Binyamin, "is outstanding in Torah and Halacha. He is perfectly fit to take my place as your Rav." The people of Lubavitch were relieved at the news. When Rav Yosef will leave, at least they would not be left as a flock without a shepherd. This would make it slightly easier for them to swallow the sudden departure of their beloved Rav. Before setting out on his travels, Rav Yosef asked Binyamin to set aside a portion of his monthly salary for Rav Yosef's wife and children. Binyamin readily agreed to his teacher's request, allowing the Rav to leave the town with peace of mind. Rav Yosef set off on his travels and Binyamin took over the reins of leadership. The young Rav quickly won the love and respect of the townspeople. He understood people and knew the right words to say to each one. He worked hard to increase Torah learning among the people. When his voice rang out in song on Shabbos and Yom Tov, their spirits were uplifted on the wings of his Nigunim. They felt greatly blessed and enriched. 2 years passed. One morning, the surprising news was heard. Rav Yosef is back. He has returned to Lubavitch. Rav Binyamin hurried to his teacher's house to welcome him. He reminded the Rav that he had taken the position only temporarily. Of course, now that he had returned, Rav Yosef would once again lead the community. Rav Yosef, however, would hear nothing of it. You performed the job well in my absence. The people are happy with you. You have had great success in your work. Keep on doing what you have done so far. The leaders of the community conferred with Rav Binyamin. They decided to offer their former Rav the position of Magid. In those days, the role of a Magid was to deliver lengthy drushes to the people, to awaken their hearts to teshuva, to encourage them to improve in their dealings with each other and in their service of Hashem. Most Magidim would travel from town to town and deliver fiery speeches in the main shul. Rav Yosef agreed to this proposal. However, the new Magid of Lubavitch turned out to be very different from the other Magidim that the people were accustomed to hearing. All of the other wandering speakers tried to awaken the people to teshuva by frightening them with serious threats and punishments. Their harsh words stung like a whip and led the audience to tears. They spoke often of Gehenim and terrible forms of suffering that awaited sinners in the next world. Their goal was to make the simple and uneducated people too terrified to sin and to feel heartbroken, worthless, and ashamed for any slight imperfection. Rav Yosef's style as a Magid surprised the people. He spoke warmly and gently, enveloping his audience with words of comfort and love. He stressed the great reward for doing mitzvahs instead of the punishment for sins. The people went away encouraged and uplifted, instead of frightened and depressed. It was clear that Rav Yosef's new approach was somehow connected with the 2 years he had been absent from Lubavitch. He was drawing his inspiration from an unknown and mysterious source. Even after his return, Rav Yosef would often leave the town and return without an explanation. People could only wonder and speculate about the nature of these mysterious journeys.